talking about trusting in God, learning how to trust in God in all different aspects of our lives. And this morning, we're going to be talking specifically about in God we trust in our relationships. Okay, focusing on all kinds of different relationships that we have in life. Now, we've talked about from the beginning of this study how that phrase, in God we trust, is our national motto, and it's printed on our money. And when we first started this, I gave out pennies to everyone, and we were talking about the fact that these are not just simply pennies, but they are indeed in God we trust. They don't have a tremendous amount of monetary value, but they have a tremendous amount of value in reminding us to trust in God in all aspects of our lives. Now, if you recall, when we started this, and I talked about the fact that our motto is on our money, and I said, I don't know how much longer it's going to be on there. Well, I can tell you that it's going to be on there at least for a lot longer in the foreseeable future, because just last week, the Supreme Court came out with a decision that basically shot down an attempt by this fellow, Michael Newdow. He's the same atheist attorney who tried to get under God taken out of the pledge, and they basically shot him down and said, nope, it is not against the Constitution, and so the motto stays on the money, okay? So just want to give you that update on that. It will be on there at least for the foreseeable future. It is not unconstitutional for it to be on there. So that is a great, great thing. Okay, so we talk about in God we trust, but the question we've been asking and challenging ourselves with is, do we really trust in God? Okay, we say it and we say, well, yeah, that's our motto, but do we really trust in Him when it comes right down to it? Or is it something that we just kind of get used to saying, especially when somebody's struggling with something and we just kind of, well, you just got to trust in God. And we throw it out there, but do we really mean it? Okay? What does it mean to truly trust in God? Okay? Do we mean it? Or do we just say it? A lot of different situations that we face in life, and many on a daily basis, okay, where our trust in God can be challenged. And Satan will use those opportunities to challenge us as to whether we really do trust in God or not. Right? But here's part of what we've been trying to focus on. What is God doing in the midst of the different challenges and situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in? And then also, what does He call upon us to do in those different situations and circumstances we find ourselves in? When He calls upon us to trust in Him, what does all of that really mean? Well, let's talk about all of that in terms of our relationships with other people, okay? Trust, we said, is a matter of choice. And one of the things that we focused on throughout this series is realizing that, you know, there's a lot of things that we know that God has told us. We know what His Word tells us to do. And we need to be learning to trust in Him when it comes to those things, because if we don't, we won't learn to trust in Him in those things that we don't really know. And today, especially, when it comes to relationships, God's Word is very clear on a lot of things that He tells us how we need to be living and acting and behaving in our relationships with other people. So there's not a whole lot of question about a lot of those areas. The only real question then comes into what we're saying. Do we trust Him? Okay, to do what He tells us to do in those relationships. All right? So let's talk about that. Relationship troubles. Anybody ever had any of those? Okay. If we asked for a show of hands, probably everybody's hands would go up, right? Because trouble is just part of relationships, aren't they? Because we're dealing with people, and what kind of people are we dealing with? Imperfect people, okay? But relationships, really, if you think about it, of all the stuff that we deal with in life, our relationships is where we find the most difficulty and the most heartaches and the most trouble in life, really, having to do with relationships. I mean, if you think about it this way, your car might break down, okay, and usually when it does, it usually breaks down when? At the worst possible time, right? Okay, as if there's really a good time for it to break down. But usually if your car breaks down, what happens? You get a little flustered about it, you get frustrated, you do what you have to do to get it fixed, and life goes on, right? End of story, and so forth. And that's typically how things go when it comes to stuff. But not when it comes to people. Not when it comes to relationships. You see, we might have a certain monetary investment in things like our car or our house or whatever, but we have a particular emotional investment in people, in relationships. And so when relationships have problems, they hurt a lot. Okay? And that's the reason why, because of our emotional attachment to those relationships. So when our relationships are troubled, that's when we hurt the most in life. Okay? We have problems when people don't do what they're supposed to do. Anybody ever have anybody in your life that doesn't do what they're supposed to do all the time? Anybody have any of that? Okay, everybody keep your hand up, because the next question is, how many of you do what you're supposed to do all the time? Okay, put them down, because none of us do. You understand my point? When it comes to relationships, we get frustrated and flustered because we're dealing with people who are imperfect, and that includes ourselves. And the people in our lives, in our relationships, don't always do what they're supposed to do. But if we can remember that we don't always do what we're supposed to do either, then that can help us, and it can go a long way in being able to fix the problems and overcome the struggles and all of those things that we really need to do. And it can go a long way in helping us to respond in those relationships the way that Christ calls upon us to respond. We have to remember that none of us is perfect, and none of us is going to always do what we're supposed to do. And that should allow us then to give a lot of grace to other people, you say, to one another. Most of life's difficulties that we have, I'm talking about the real difficulties in life, come from our relationships. Okay? Think about it this way. Most of our sin problems come from relationships. Okay? Most of our relationship problems, I'm convinced, come from sin. Okay? Most of our relationship problems, that's where they come from, because we're not doing what we should be doing. And I say most, because it's not all, but I do believe it's most. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. And this is part of the text that we're studying this morning, was read for us. The Apostle Paul calls upon us, and understand that he is writing in this letter to those who belong to Christ. In fact, he begins chapter 3 by saying this: since then, you have been raised with Christ. Okay? So he identifies those who are believers in Christ, those who have been saved, who have been raised up. The idea there is not just simply being raised up as children, but raised from a death in sin to a new life in Christ. Since then, you have been raised in Christ. He says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And here's what he says beginning in verse 8. But now ye also put off all of these. And he gives a list. Okay, the things that we need to get rid of out of our life. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Okay, now again, if your car breaks down, you might just get to the point where, you might cuss a little bit at it. Okay, I'm not giving you permission to do that. Okay, but I'm saying you might just get a little bit angry and you might do that. Okay, but it doesn't last. But when we start feeling these ways, you're going to get angry at your car, but as soon as it starts running again, aren't you just happy as can be with it? But when somebody in your life does something to hurt you and you get angry about it and you're full of wrath, it's not as easy to get over, is it? You understand my point? Again, I want to make sure everybody understands. I'm not giving you permission to cuss. Okay? I'm just saying, the difference here between the stuff, the material things that we deal with in life versus people. Okay? We need to get rid of these things, Paul says, out of our lives because they will destroy our relationships. Well, let's talk about biblical relationships for just a moment. What are we talking about here? When we're talking about the Bible, one of the things that we need to understand is that that's really, at its basic form, what the Bible is all about, is relationships. And yes, it even talks about difficult relationships, okay? But it is about relationships. From the very beginning of it, all the way through the end, the Bible is about relationships. And that's why God gave it to us. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you begin to understand that there, the first and foremost relationship that the Bible speaks about is our relationship with God. And we've talked about it many, many times before. You've heard me talk about the relationship that man had with God in the garden before sin came into the world. And that relationship is what? It is a, say it with me, a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. That's what God had with man before sin. And basically, that in Genesis chapter 3, that's what it tells us. And from that point on, what the Bible tells us about is God's efforts and God's work at restoring us to a relationship with Him. Because sin severed that relationship. And because of God and His love, He wants nothing more than to have that relationship back. And that's primarily what the Bible is about, okay? How we can be reconciled or restored in a relationship with Him. But then it also, throughout, it has information about all kinds of other relationships, about whether you're talking about marriage, whether you're talking about parenting, we're talking about relationships with our neighbors. There's even things in there that it tells us about how to respond and react to our enemies. So it is about relationships from the very beginning all the way through the end. We continue reading in Colossians chapter 3. Look at what he says. Therefore, as God's holy chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, if you look at that passage, I want you to notice something about it. Okay? You notice statements in here that says he wants us to clothe ourselves with things like compassion. And kindness and humility, patience. And then look at verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. Why would he need to tell us to bear with one another and to be patient with one another if we didn't, I mean, if we were all perfect. And the reality is that we're not. That yes, even as brothers and sisters in Christ, see, that's another relationship that he talks about, isn't it? That's the relationship of us as one another's within the church. And he's basically telling us, you know what? There's going to be times when you're not going to be at your best. And there's going to be times when a brother or sister is not going to do what they need to be doing, and we need to be patient with one another. We need to bear with one another. We need to forgive one another. To me, one of the saddest things that occurs in life, and again, it's all about people, is when churches fall apart, when churches split.
Amen.
One of the saddest things that happens.
Yes.
When those who belong to the Lord forget what this is saying. And we refuse to bear with and be patient with. We refuse to forgive such that it tears a whole church apart.
Yes.
And I think overall the reason that those things happen is because people stop trusting in God to work out whatever the problems, whatever the issues, whatever the disagreements are. People decide to do it their own way. If we would just learn to trust in God. When He tells us to be patient, trust Him. When He tells us to forgive, trust Him. Say. Instead of just letting those be things that we say, we need to be doing it. He gives instructions for husbands and wives, doesn't He?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, husbands and wives. Wives need to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Why? Because He says the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. But then He also says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And so, again, this is a situation where God has given us His instructions. He's told us how He wants us to live in relationship. Do we trust Him enough to do that? Okay. What about parents and children? You know, today is Father's Day, right? We're thinking about and focusing on the relationship of parents and children. You know, God has something to say about that too. Right? Children, He says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then He says to fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So He gives us instruction in His Word, okay, on how to do those relationships. Matthew chapter 5, He even tells us about how to respond to our enemies. Love your enemies, He says, and pray for those who persecute you. Wait a minute. Now, you know, hey... You know, the people that are good to me, I can handle that and I can love them even when they kind of mess up a little bit and they don't do always. But you're talking about our enemies? You mean those who would try intentionally to harm us? He says, yeah, I want you to love them. And those that are trying to persecute you, I want you to pray for them. Do you trust God enough to do that with those who are your enemies? When it comes to persecution, folks, you heard me say this, and it's coming more and more. And the way that our culture is moving to stand up for Christ, you're going to be persecuted. Are you going to be able to trust God enough that you're going to pray for those who are doing so? Okay? It is so important how we respond to one another. Okay? I want you to notice this part of Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Do you understand what that is saying here? Our relationships with one another are so important to God that if we're not doing those right, then they will interfere with our relationship with God. So much so that He says, you go and get that straightened out before you come to me. God cares that much about our relationships with one another. You see, it's kind of, you know, this, and we've talked about this before. This is kind of cool. I found this picture in here. This is actually the cover of a owner's manual from a 1919 Ford. Okay? And of course, the owner's manuals in cars, and you buy a car and you get one, it's usually in your glove box, right? And the reason that that is there is because the manufacturer has put that together so that you as the owner of the vehicle would know how to best take care of that vehicle so you would get the best service and the longest life out of that vehicle. If you follow the maintenance schedule and you do all the things that you're supposed to according to the manufacturer's instructions, then the vehicle is going to last longer and give you better service. Okay, that's the idea behind it. Well, sometimes we don't really want to follow the owner's manual a whole lot. Okay, and you know, when Cindy and I first bought our Explorer, up until that point, I had always been told and always understood that you change the oil in your car every how often, guys? Every 3,000 miles. Well, the owner's manual for our Explorer said every 10,000 miles. Okay, and there's a warning on there. That 10,000 miles, that thing comes on and it tells you, you got to change the oil, okay? So when I took the car to the dealership to have the oil changed at the first 10,000 miles, the service manager said, you know, we really recommend that you have the oil changed every 5,000 miles, not every 10,000. I said, well, the owner's manual from the manufacturer says every 10,000. And they said, well, we know that's what they say, but we recommend that you do it every 5,000. And I said, the reason you recommend that is because you want me to have oil changes and pay for them twice as much as I have to. I'm going to follow the manufacturer's recommendations. And by the way, as long as I follow their recommendations, then the warranty is taken care of. But you understand my point? You see, even those supposedly in the know, we'll try. Well, I know what the manual says, but, well, God has given us an owner's manual. It's called the Bible. But understand that owner's manual He gave to us so that we would know how to best, listen to me, maintain our relationships. Just like with your car. Why? So that you get the best out of those relationships. That's why He gave it to us. And if we will trust Him in what He tells us in His Word, just like the manufacturer of the car, if we will follow His instructions, then our relationships will work much better. Now notice, I didn't say it's going to be perfect. No more than your car is going to run perfectly. But they're going to be much better. And when there's a weird noise, you know, you don't just turn up the radio to make the noise go away. You actually have some of you ladies are laughing, right? Okay. Yeah. Then you know, okay, I need to do this to fix this. And that's the same thing that God's Word does. When it doesn't go right, here's what you need to do to fix it. But again, the question is, do we trust Him enough to do what He says? Because, just like with our cars, here's what people say. I know what the Bible says, but. Okay? Because there are a lot of people who kind of feel like this. I'm an exception to the rules. Okay? And so it would be something like this. I know what the Bible says, but. And I don't know if you can read all of those things there, but you don't know what they did. Okay? I know what the Bible says, but I'm sure God wants me to be happy. I know what the Bible says, but. Okay? And that was... I was born this way. That's the one I was trying to... I was having a little bit of trouble reading off of the thing there. You don't understand my situation. See, again, I'm an exception. All the rules don't really apply to this situation. You don't understand. Well, you know, we're going to get married anyway. And on and on and on, the exceptions are thrown out there. I know what the Bible says, but. The reality is there's no buts about it. Okay, we need to understand that. When it comes to trusting in God, there are no exclusionary clauses. Okay? And you know what exclusionary clauses are? Those are clauses that are put into contracts to be able, so people can get out of the contract. Okay, or if somebody violates a particular part of it, then the other party doesn't have to follow that. If you look at the second thing on there, the function of an exclusion clause is to limit or exclude liability for breach of an express or implied term, or even negligence in a contract. So basically it says, if you don't follow the contract, then I get to get out. Okay, that's exclusionary clauses. Well, you know what? When it comes to the Bible, one of the things we need to realize is there are no exclusionary clauses. Okay? They don't exist in the Bible. All right? People, you know, want to say, well, I would if they would. Okay? If they would do what they were supposed to do, then I'd do what I'm supposed to do. But you know what? When it comes to standing before God in the judgment, nobody is going to be able to say and use this as a successful defense, I would have done it if they would have. Okay? God's not going to accept that as a very, you know, valid defense, okay? Because there are no exclusionary clauses. In other words, you know, when Paul writes about, as we saw a few moments ago, the way that husbands and wives are to be in a relationship, it doesn't say anywhere in there, there's no fine print that says, as long as the other one's doing what they're supposed to. It doesn't say that. So you know, wives, you don't get to say, well, I'd be submissive to him if he'd have loved me better. Or husbands, you don't get to say, well, I would have been a better husband, I'd have loved her more if she would have been more submissive. It doesn't work that way. What it says is for each one and what we're supposed to do, period. And that applies whether the other person is doing what they're supposed to do or not. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You say, they'll answer to God for their part. And each and every one of us will answer to God for our part. There are no exclusionary phrases in there. When Jesus was asked the question, what is, of all the commandments that are out there, what is the greatest commandment? He said the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, he said. And what is that about? That's the Bible in a nutshell, isn't it? As we said, from beginning to end, what is it about? Relationship with God and relationship with one another, His creation. What's the greatest commandment? Love God and love your neighbor. See, that's really what it's all about. And He's told us in His Word how to do that. Even in those relationships that aren't working very well, how are we to respond? Well, we need to respond, in, first of all, in trust. To do what He tells us to do. Whether the other person ever does what they're supposed to or not. You see, we can't control the other person. We can control how we react and how we respond. And that's what God calls upon us to do. Trust Him and do what He tells you to do when relationships are having struggles. We build better relationships with God, with others, with family, whether it be our nuclear family, whether it be our church family, with those around us, our neighbors and people in the community, people in our Judea, as we've been talking about. We do that by trusting God in our relationships with one another. Now, I don't know what's going on in everybody's life, but I suspect that there are folks here that may be having some struggles in relationships, maybe being with a neighbor, with a friend, with a coworker. It doesn't matter. The challenge is for us to focus on what God tells us to do in His Word, of how to handle that relationship, our part. And so, if there's somebody here this morning, maybe you need some help with that. Maybe you need some guidance, some encouragement. Whatever it is to help you to learn to trust God in dealing with those relationships. Of course, the other part of all this is trusting God with our eternal destiny. So that's a challenge for us to look at our life and to say, okay, have I given my life to Christ? Because remember, we talked about the very first relationship is that with us and God. And if you have not been reconciled to God, then you need to understand you are lost in your sins, still separated from Him. But the great news is you can be reconciled to Him right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. Ray's in the back there. Dale will be in the back. For anybody that would like to have a prayer or a conversation privately with either one of them, and I'll be right up front here to receive anyone that would like to come up. We have a song that Wesley's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. So let's stand together and sing.